Welcome to the Muscle Expert Podcast with Ben Pakulski, one of the world's top professional bodybuilders, an expert on human performance and mindset mastery. Ben dives deep to deliver the strategies of the top experts to upgrade your body, mind, muscle, strength, performance, biochemistry, and how to become the upgraded modern man. Join us on BenPakulski.com to learn the cutting-edge techniques to take control of your body, your brain, and create your greatest life.
What's up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome back to the Muscle Expert Podcast. We're going to dive deep on the science today. We've got two very special guests, Mr. Hans Eng, Ms. Rowena Gates, who are experts in structured water. They've got a very special technology called NanoV that really is diving deep on understanding oxidative stress. And as people who exercise vigorously, who eat tremendous amounts of food, consume tremendous amounts of oxygen, everyone in the fitness industry needs to be concerned with the amount of oxidative stress, the amount of free radical damage. And you guys have discovered and designed a revolutionary way to mitigate this stress. And for many of my listeners, they may not be familiar with the fourth stage of water. I'd like to start there. First of all, welcome.
Hello, welcome. Morning.
Thank you for joining me. So my listeners are the science nerds of the world, right? We want to understand everything you guys have to give us as far as the deep dive on understanding the cellular energetics, the mechanics of structured water, and why one, oxidative stress is important, and two, why it's also important to make sure we're not getting too much, if that's the truth. So I'd like to learn from you guys, because I'm by no stretch an expert, but I'd love to hear from you. First of all, the idea of the fourth phase of water.
Okay, maybe I should start. These are a lot of different questions and a lot of different topics we can dive in.
Yeah.
When we talk about and when we hear oxidative stress, we have to look at first where does it actually occur and what is being damaged. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And then that will lead then to your last question, what is the easy water, this kind of exclusion zone water. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Oxidative stress occurs within the cell. Yeah?
Yep.
Within the cell, and it's an unavoidable byproduct of oxygen metabolism. Yeah? So whenever we require ATP that is created in the mitochondria, oxygen metabolism is needed, and the side product, the waste product of free radicals are being produced, and that is called oxidative stress, this process. Mm-hmm. That occurs in every living cell, in every oxygen metabolizing system. And now we have to look what is being damaged. In the cells are proteins, countless proteins. We assume that the human person has around 900,000 different proteins in their body, 10,000 per cell. Yeah? And these little guys have to be structured in a three-dimensional shape, and they have to work. And then we are working. Then we are able to do everything. Our entire body is possible to grow, to feel, to run the task. Yeah? Then we are alive. Proteins are the workhorses in our body and the most important particles in our body. Yeah? So these guys are getting damaged by oxidative stress. Yeah? So to counterbalance oxidative stress, we have to look what we can do to these guys. Yeah? And we have to learn what proteins are doing, how they are formed, how they are built in the body, and how they can be assisted to stay healthy and fit so that the body fulfill all the requests that we are putting on it. Yeah? And like I said, it is not only physical request, yeah? It is also mental request. Yeah? Thinking, strongly thinking, makes us tired. Yeah?
Yes.
And if we run every day with our brain a marathon, then we create the same stress on this part of the body as if we run a real marathon and
right.
We have in the legs and somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Yeah? So the protein damage happens everywhere where we have demand in our body. So the proteins are in the cell and they are embedded in the water, in the cellular water. Since around 20 years, the research of the water in the cells is evolved. We have a lot of books published, and we see that a very important part of the attributes of the material specification of the water in the cells is related to the term of EZ water, exclusion zone water, mm-hmm. also ordered water. Yeah, that is a layer of thin layer of water molecules on the water's surface. Yeah? So on the water surface is the outside of the cell, but it's also formed to every particle that is within the cell. So the proteins that are swimming in the cell are surrounded with layers of easy water. Yeah? And that is important for their last final formation change. Yeah? When they fold into the three-dimensional shape, that is a shape of entropy. Yeah? That is only possible when you have a higher order around the unordered protein, when the layer is strong enough, big enough for this specific protein. The protein folds very fast, immediately. The ordered water will lose its order. Yeah, now it is ready to get ordered again, surround the next protein, so that the next protein can do the same formation by folding into the three-dimensional shape.
Yep. Yeah?
So the production of this specific, very specific easy water is an ongoing process from the first moment when we are living that has to be done. Yeah? It is a process that happens within the cells with every oxygen metabolizing species. Yeah? And that is initiated by a very specific free radical. Yeah? So these guys, which are in the first view looking all bad, yeah, they actually, one very particular one is an excited oxygen molecule or oxygen atom, yeah, that emits its excitation energy, and that is absorbable by water and responsible to form the very specific exclusion zone water. Yeah. So basically, the free radicals who are damaging the proteins, one of these guys is one who initiates the repair. Yeah. But yeah. That is always slower. So the damaging component is always stronger than the repair component. Yeah? So that is why we are aging, yeah? And why oxygen utilization systems are aging, getting older, because the repair process always hangs a little bit behind the required repair task. And that is what we were focused on by designing this product. Yeah? How is it possible to assist this repair process, to provide the cells and especially the proteins additional easy water layers so that they can fold faster, and depending on your lifestyle or your environment or whatever you put task on your body which are requiring or which are related to oxidative stress, yeah, that you can do these things better, longer, and can also better recover from it.
Does that seem to be, by your research, the limiting factor is your body's ability to maybe reproduce the easy zone structured water?
Yeah, to assist the amount that we produce by ourselves, yeah, and to put a little bit more in from the outside. Yeah, something like if you're sick, if you have a cold, mm-hmm. yeah, you know, usually when you get sick, get a cold, you should get fever because a fever is a repair mechanism in our body. Yeah? Mm-hmm. As a prevention tool, you go in a sauna, you go in a hot house or such a thing, yeah, to mimic fever, to assist the body's repair process a little bit. Yeah? So, and that is a physical process, like our process is pure physics. There is no chemistry involved, yeah? No drugs, no components that we send to the body. Yeah? So we assist the body's ability to more layers of easy water in our cells.
So what is easy water? Is it just like, and you know, ultimately looking at the mechanism of what you guys are doing to actually make it, taking it to this fourth stage of water, so the listeners understand, really, what is it?
Yeah. Easy water means exclusion zone water. Water, and water has the ability to absorb very specific electromagnetic wavelengths, so which means energy.
Yeah.
But that has to be a very, very specific energy. Not every, most of the energies are not absorbable by water. If it's possible, then the water molecule starts to vibrate. Yeah? They touch each other, they shake each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And that goes through the entire volume, the entire network. But at the end of it, on the surface, there is no neighbor to touch anymore, you could say. Yeah. So the molecules and have to move a little bit closer together at the end. Yeah. So they pile up on the surfaces. Mm-hmm. Yeah? And by doing it, the distance between the water molecules are getting smaller, and they are getting in an ordered shape. Yeah? So because the distance is smaller, the room between it is not possible to fill up with a lot of other things. So a lot of other things are getting pressed out of the water. Yeah? And that is the reason why that is also called exclusion zone. Yeah? Because in this water area, you have no other things in there that is so tightly packed. Yeah. So that is actually also very, very clean. Yeah. So that is another area where this kind of knowledge about water could be used in filter technologies, for example, because we separate different phases in the water through this process. Yeah.
Hans, you've done such a wonderful job of explaining that. Thank you. I mean, I couldn't ask for anything better. That was so clear and so perfect. I loved it. Talking about free radical damage. So obviously, you know, all my listeners are training hard. A lot of them are endurance athletes. A lot of them are bodybuilders or aspiring physique athletes. And a lot of them are, you know, for the last 10 or 15 years, we've kind of been addicted to the idea of taking excessive amounts of antioxidants, vitamin C, all these other things. Can you just talk a little bit about that and maybe the difference? Like, is, you know, taking an exogenous antioxidant going to have a similar effect to maybe mitigating some of this oxidative stress from exercise? And is it going to have a similar effect or similar benefit to helping folding of the proteins like the Easy Water will?
Yeah. No. Generally, these are two very, very different things.
Right.
Yeah? So one thing is to avoid damage. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's more the antioxidant approach. Yeah? We know since more than 50 years that we produce free radicals. We observed during this time that the body has antioxidants, yeah, and so these guys are catching the free radicals. They are going in a chemical reaction with them, yeah, and we saw this and we said, okay, we can put more in the body. So now the free radicals will not pick the good, healthy, and very, very important proteins to damage them. They will pick the other one. But actually, free radicals don't have a preference, yeah. Free radicals don't have time. That is their problem. Yeah? They cannot look around which whom I would like to partner up. They have to do it as fast as possible. So these are nanoseconds where free radicals have to grab the next body that they can find in front of them. Yeah? So if we have antioxidants that are workable and available in the cells, yeah, because that is always the other question. How do we get these really to the cell that has this demand for it? Yeah? So if we have these antioxidants in the cell, even the reaction between the free radical and an antioxidant, is a chemical reaction, will create temperature change. Yeah? And if that happens close to a protein, the protein gets damaged. Yeah? Because proteins are temperature sensitive. Yeah? And when the chemical reaction besides the protein is creating this damage, it has an effect on the proteins. Yeah? So the free radicals don't really have to connect directly with the protein to damage it. It can run in any other chemical reaction, produces temperature, and creates damages. Yeah. Next thing is the majority of the free radicals are actually in the mitochondria. Yeah? And in the mitochondria, you cannot get antioxidants into the mitochondria. Yeah? So where the center is of the energy production, or there's the ATP production, and there you also have most of the damage. Yeah? So everybody know when we are getting older, we are producing less cell energy, yeah? Because the damage is unavoidable accumulating there. Yeah? The next thing is why that is a little bit different. The antioxidants, if they are in the cell, they are another component in the cell. Yeah? And the easy water that the cell is able to produce has a special amount only, yeah? Because we can only produce a special amount of free radicals per cell. These kind of exclusion zone will build up around the other components too. Yeah? Components that doesn't necessarily belong in the cells. Yeah? It could be heavy metal, yeah? Anything, you have another drug that doesn't really belong in there. that will all reduce the amount of the easy layers that are required for the proteins for folding to have them around. Mm-hmm. Yeah? Load a lot of things into your cells will reduce the body's capacity to fold proteins.
Right. So the more toxic you are, potentially the more easy water, well, the less you have and the more you need.
Yes. Yeah. Right. That is exactly the problem. Then we are down on the spiral too. Yeah. But a good free radical, a good antioxidant regime will help. Yeah, to avoid damages, mm-hmm. yeah, but will not help to repair damages that unavoidably occurred. Yeah? So the combination of both antioxidant treatment and support of the protein folding with our technology would be a perfect combination.
And Ben Hans mentioned a good antioxidant regime. There was a study done in Norway a few years ago that showed when athletes overdid the antioxidants, they didn't build muscle. Mm-hmm. So it's important not to do too much of it or counterbalance it with the NanoV, I guess.
Sure, yeah.
But there's a good amount in the middle, and it's kind of hard to measure because the actual effectiveness of antioxidants is a difficult thing to measure.
So kind of leading into another question, one thing that we see chronically is our society is so overstimulated and often underhydrated. So someone who potentially, you know, trains a lot, maybe they don't have a huge amount of just water, maybe they're dehydrated. What types of effects would they start to see from decreased cellular hydration levels and obviously thereby decreased easy water, right? What types of things, is there something that's tangible that they go, we'll see this, and how do I know where my cellular easy water status may be?
We cannot measure easy water status easily. Mm-hmm. The sensors that are necessary, we cannot put these into a living person's mm-hmm. cell. We can measure the amount of the easy water production, yeah. We do this on cell cultures, yeah? And you measure basically how much energy was emitted into the cell water, yeah? And then you know how much then was built in the water. Yeah? So that is possible, but you cannot really go in with a kind of sensor and measure the layer of the easy water. That is, you cannot measure this.
Yeah? Sure, but what type of thing would they start to experience? I'm guessing... if someone's dehydrated, they're going to produce substantially less easy water, or your body just produces as much as it needs. I want to understand a little more about the mechanism.
Yeah, the process is not producing the substance water.
Right. It's just
is only a kind of stage yep. in water that you have in your body.
So. It's just always present.
It's always present. As long as you are living, is present.
Sure. Yeah?
Only gets less and less and less when we age. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so explain that. So it gets less and less as we age. Talk about that.
Yeah. A young person is always metabolizing more oxygen mm-hmm. than an older person.
Okay.
Yeah? So we can boost this up by putting more requests on our body. So in the moment we are running a marathon, we are doing endurance sports, athletic sport, yeah, we are forcing our body to metabolize more oxygen because we need more cell energy, more ATP.
Yeah? Yep.
That leads to more damage in the cells. Yeah? And the more damage leads to reduced metabolism. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So we're starting not to do certain things because the proteins which are responsible to do something, to execute something, are being damaged. Yeah? So we are losing slowly function in our body. Yeah? And by losing these functions, we are not requesting enough cell energy again. And by not requesting enough cell energy, the body is not able to produce the signal, the energy that water absorbs to produce the easy water. Yeah? Maybe that was a little bit more complicated now.
No, that makes sense. No, that was great. Yeah. So
for people who are doing a lot of physical exercise, there are a lot of brain work, which is also physical exercise, only a different way. different part of the body, they choose a lifestyle for them that is producing more demand on their body, requesting more demand. And to live this lifestyle, to keep this lifestyle, we have to think about the proteins that we have to support their folding process,
right,
so that can run this. Yeah? And that is where our technology is then being used to support basically this, what you're doing right now, that you can do it longer and maybe even better. Because if you have more possibilities to train, you will have a better end result. So athletes are not looking necessarily for the turbo push like a doping thing. They're looking forward that they have a faster, more often repetition in their training and become therefore better. And that does not only include the amount of muscle volume, that also includes the knowledge about what they are doing, the concentration, what they are doing, the mental improvement in what they are doing. When training more often, you have a benefit at the end.
Sure. So just understanding a little bit about the mechanism. So why does the body unfold proteins and then fold proteins? And is that a necessary part of cellular mechanics?
The folding part is a necessary part, So the protein is built out of amino acids. 50% of the amino acids we have to take in by food. The other 50% are built in our body. During the gene expression, the DNA is responsible to build the chain of amino acids, which are formed into sheets. They are two-dimensional. And these two-dimensional structures now have to fold in the third dimension. And we use very often a little toy to explain it. At universities, they do this too, This little push puppet, That is the amino acids unfolded, And now they need energy. They fold and they are starting to work. Only in this process they are able to work, And the possibility of changing their shape and turning them on and off is used in biology constantly. Like I said, fever, for example, our body gets fever to turn a very specific group of proteins on. Because only in the higher temperature they are folding. When they're done with their job, the protein has to get turned off, have to unfold so that it can stop their cleaning work, And to stop them, they're simply unfolding. They're flattened out again, And so this behavior of folding, unfolding is used in the biology constantly, And we need for our daily task, every given moment, so many proteins, they have to be in a three-dimensional structure, correctly fold, and then it's fine, Unfortunately, they are not always staying in the shape that we would like to have it because of the free radicals.
Okay. So your device has people inhaling structured water. Is that correct? Can you tell me. So I don't want to make, a mistake and say something that's incorrect. So it's not just like drinking this type of water. It's actually an inhalation system. And I'm just curious as to what the difference is and why. Because you said it's a phase of water. So I'm guessing the type of water that we're ingesting is already in this phase. It's already in this state.
When I explained the process in the cell, I explained that a signal needs to be emitted from the free radical that happens in the device. We are emitting the signal to a little water droplet in the vapor.
Gotcha.
So in the cell, the water molecule is absorbing it, and it has to transport this kind of received absorbed energy to its surface. And that is a kind of micro-nano vibration process, nano-vibration process, so that on the surface you build then up there's accumulation and it's getting tighter. So that's in the device to the water droplets in the humidity. So then we push the humidity in the airstream to your mucous membrane, mouth, nose, you can inhale it, but you also can hold the breath. It has to touch the water surface. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure that this water is clean, so we have to use distilled water in the vapor to enrich the vapor. And the easy water layers, the exclusion zone water layers, the ordered water structure is formed on the outside of these water droplets. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So now the next step happens is the energy transfer into the cells. Yeah? So when you have a higher energy state on the outside of the droplets and it touches the watery surface in your body, mm-hmm. transfer happens. Yeah? So we are really not in, it is really not necessary that you inhale the water volume or such a thing. Yeah, we are looking for the energy transfer from the water droplet into your cell. Yeah, and then it happens in the same kind as think about a pond. Yeah, you have a couple that is a cell filled with water, and you have many little islands or ducks sitting on the pond, and you throw a rock in there. The waves will start to ripple around all things which are in the pot. Yeah. And that is what we are doing to the body. Huh? So we are sending this almost kinetic energy transfer from the water droplets into the cells, and they build this rippling energy around everything that is embedded in the water in our body. And the main thing that is embedded in the water are the proteins.
Hey guys, I interrupt your podcast to bring you a note from our sponsor, ATP Labs. I have recently partnered with ATP Labs because they have the highest quality products in the world. So ATP Labs teeters on the brink of being a practitioner-grade product. And what that means is they are third-party tested. They are the highest quality standard that's available anywhere in the world. These guys are literally searching around the world to find the highest quality ingredients. Regardless of cost to them, they are finding the best of the best. So you know what you're putting in is what you're going to get out. And you guys know that I'm a massive proponent of paying attention to what goes into your body. And you need to care about that stuff, because if you only get one of these things, and if you want to get the most out of your body, you need to care about what's going in. So we need, you can actually use less and get the same result or better result and no toxic side effects. So whether you are diving into their multivitamin called Total Defense, or you're looking at fish oils, or you're looking at BCAAs, or anything to optimize performance, you're going to get the highest quality response. So you will know without a shadow of a doubt that these things are working. Use code BPAK, B-P-A-K, to get discount today. And that's going to be for a limited time only. So get on it, atplabs.com. Enjoy. Is this the type of thing that it seems as though everyone can benefit from? Because obviously, is it just an aging population thing, or is it just an athletic thing? Or is it the type of thing that, you know, everyone as young as, you know, little children could potentially benefit from to help with the cellular aging process and degradation of proteins and all these things?
Yes, you're absolutely right. Everybody can help it because we are improving or assisting a biological process. Mm-hmm. And not only for humans, yeah, every oxygen metabolizing species could have the benefit from it. Yeah? So why are we focused more special groups, yeah, like it is used in the medical world. Yeah, people have already accumulated a lot of damages, chronic diseases, yeah, and they are using this technology to counterbalance the chronic diseases problems, yeah, to try to regain the protein functions for their body again. Yeah, then we have the performance field. Yeah. They request more protein function than a usual person. Yeah? Mm-hmm. So we boost their ability to repair proteins faster. Yeah? And then we have the entire prevention field. Yeah? Like you said, everybody can benefit from it. Yeah? The people who would like to keep their health they are currently in as long as possible, maybe even improve it. Yeah? And they use it then as a prevention tool to stay healthy, yeah? Not to fall in the situation where people are in with chronic diseases.
Have you found any negative effects to accelerating this process, like accelerating the protein folding?
no, a negative effect is not possible because you cannot overfold a protein. Yeah? It folds and then it's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
And the only other thing that is a little bit now researched and shown in a research paper is that this kind of easy water, if there is more, is building around DNA and building around proteins and is a kind of protecting them. Yeah? So it makes it more difficult for them to get damaged. Hmm. Yeah? But this research is very, very new. Yeah, give us not 200 years, but maybe 10 years, and we know more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The problem is the technology that is needed for this is currently not available. We are not able to see and to look and observe the proteins in our body.
Unfortunately, that seems to be the case pretty often in science, right? It's like your thoughts are often limited by your ability to research things and identify things.
Yeah, yeah. At first, there's always a theory. Yeah? Then you have to push the technology to build little tiny sensors designed for your theory that they actually then can prove if your theory was correct or not.
Right. What are some of the ways that people can improve, enhance their natural easy water production or state? Is there something we can do naturally, maybe be supplementally, maybe it's exercise? Like, what are the best ways that we know about to enhance that rate of easy water production?
One thing is to be outside in the sun. That is a very important thing. The sunlight has, part of the sunlight includes the frequency that is absorbed by water. Yeah? So that doesn't mean that automatically when you're out in the sunshine that it works. Yeah, if you have a high humidity above you, so in the atmosphere, all this important easy water energy is filtered out because, like I said, water is absorbing it, mm-hmm. and it starts to absorb it far up in the atmosphere.
Interesting.
So, as high as the humidity is, as more clouds you have above you, as less possible is it to charge yourself.
So it's like a specific frequency of UV light, or is it infrared, or like what are we talking exactly?
Yes, it is far out in the infrared spectrum. It's not a visible wavelength. Yeah, mm-hmm. So. It's an electromagnetic, we cannot really say light, because light is only the visible wave. Everything that is not visible is not light.
Right.
An electromagnetic energy. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Very, very interesting. Tell me more about how you guys discovered this. So obviously you knew the process, and then was it, you guys team up on the discovery of it, or walk me through the process of how, because like to me this is so fascinating. And the implications seem tremendous in so many aspects of health optimization.
Different things are falling together in this whole thing. You have to know in proteomics the importance of the protein folding thing. Mm-hmm. You have to know, and since the late 1890s, the theories are out there that ordered water are responsible for the entropy change of the proteins. Yeah, so that is out there. The people who are researching in this field are doing it since many years, and Vladimir Velkov is one of the most important researchers with so many publications in this field at the university. And that is one thing. The next thing is to understand the knowledge that we created in the last 20 years about water. Yeah? Water science, water as a material was neglected for many years. Everybody thought, we know everything about water. Yeah? But there are a lot of things where we always said no. We have a lot of questions that you cannot answer. Yeah? Why does a cloud is in the sky and doesn't fall on your head? Yeah? Was not answered possible without understanding this structure of easy water. Yeah? That all together and the intention to improve the biology for the protein folding part led then to the research, how can you provide a technical solution to assist the body with this. Yeah? And then at first you do the patent, then you do the prototyping, then you do the proof of concept. We work together with universities. They show that we are actually doing exactly the thing what we are doing. Now we are working with institutes. They can measure the amount of easy water layers output of our devices. Yeah, so every step is researched and underlaid with the documentation. And then we did the clinical studies. Yeah, at first at the biomolecular level itself, we did studies at the DNA. Yeah? They are big enough; we can see these guys on the microscope. Yeah? And then we did studies at protein networks, so groups of protein who are responsible to do certain things. Yeah, for example, to reduce the lactate, to get the lactate out of the body. Mm-hmm. Huge amount of proteins are responsible for it. Most of them we still don't know, but we see their effect when they work together. Yeah? And when we see that we have a lactate reduction or improvement of getting rid of the lactate of 17%, yeah, then that is equivalent with the numbers that we saw on DNA repair. Yeah? That is equivalent with what we see of clinical studies about inflammation improvement, yeah, inflammatory response after a sport and those things. So these are then all the numbers that we use for showing that this technology, when applied to a body, yeah, has also the effect that we were looking for.
Talk to me about timing for administration of easy water. Is it the type of thing like more is better, or is there a specific amount that you kind of want to match to your stress?
It depends on the condition of the person, how sensitive they are. So for some people, if they're carrying a lot of toxins, they want to start slowly and build up. So even less than 1 second.
Can you explain why?
Because one of the strong healing responses is to get rid of toxins. Mm. The person's elimination channels aren't up to the task, then it stirs them up and it will ultimately cause problems for them. And so what we want is to have it go slowly enough that they can actually eliminate them and get them out of the body.
So because you're adding additional easy water into a cell and it's causing this structural change, it's actually forcing toxins out of the cell?
Right. The body will try to, it generally will try to do two things: get rid of the toxins when it's healing and come back into homeostasis. So it will want to come back into balance. And we can measure that with heart rate variability, with the autonomic nervous system, or hormone function, or different things will show that balancing function. But the main thing for a person using it is that if they're in that state of being challenged with multiple chemical sensitivity, or they know, you know, there's a toxic load there, then they just have to start slowly and build up. But then after that, it really depends on the age of the person and how challenged they are, either by sports or if they've got some other chronic condition that challenges them. And so people will typically double the sessions if they're really pushing it as an athlete, or they've got something, maybe they're recovering from a surgery, or they've got an illness, then they'll do more than the base amount.
So rather than skipping over this detox thing, I want to pick your brain on it a little bit. So it seems as though this is a very direct way to kind of target and stimulate cellular detox processes. Agree or disagree?
I agree. Now, in a healthy person, we all have toxins. Mm-hmm. But in the healthier people, you won't notice the difference. It's only the people that are more challenged where it's a noticeable difference when they start using the device.
Why?
So it doesn't mean the device isn't helping. It's just not, kicking them enough for them to notice it.
Okay. So as far as noticing when someone is not healthy would be, nausea, dizziness, stuff like that?
It's exactly. They'll start to feel a little woozy or get a bit of a headache. Good time to stop. Mm-hmm. And then it can be any of the diarrhea, rash, a skin rash, any of the detox reactions, including the hurts if they're really challenged. So generally, the good thing is that those people always know who they are. And so they know enough to start slowly. So generally, it's not really an issue. It's just something that you have to, be aware of.
Mm-hmm. So amazing. So give me an idea of what a protocol looks like. So someone who, very toxic compared to someone who, you know, is really pushing the envelope of oxidative stress.
So very toxic, and it's a very small percentage of the people. Mm-hmm. So just quickly, somebody who's very toxic, if they use a standard half-hour session time device, then they might start with 5 minutes, give it a break, do another 5 minutes the same day if they feel well. If they start to feel a little dizzy or anything, they would stop a session, and they'd build up maybe at 5 minute increments. And so it doesn't take that long to come up to the full session time, but they do it in that way. You guys would do start out with a full session. It's not a problem. Mm-hmm. And you've got two aspects of it. One is to help with the recovery process, in which case you typically do it after exertion. And the other is to use it prior to exertion, and that's where you'd look for, you know, more feeling better at the end of a workout, or even having the ability to do more during the workout, either speed or weight or whatever that measurement is. And there's a reason the study that was done on lactate in athletes, they did a session prior to working out and then showed significantly, like typically around 17% less lactate in the blood after an all-out exertion test, which is where the athlete goes to failure. Mm-hmm. And it's usually 45 minutes to an hour, I think, were those typical for those tests.
Yep.
And so they really pushed it. And then, but the lactate reduction with the placebo versus the NanoB group was really dramatic. And so for you know, weightlifting, bodybuilding, performance athletes, then that could be the lactate can be a big factor.
I love that you brought that up. That was actually one of my next questions, is just the idea of, we know that the oxidative stress and the free radical response is actually a huge component of the benefit of the exercise, or what we're looking to achieve to it's almost like the stimulus, right? So that was one of my questions. Would this be something that would actually mitigate that? You know, whether or not you want to do that or not, it would be a very important thing to know. Like, if I'm doing some endurance challenge, then maybe it would be great to do this. Whereas if I'm looking for a hypertrophy response, I actually want that oxidative stress and that free radical damage. It's been shown to be part of the signaling pathway. So that was, you know, I'd love for you to talk a little more about that.
Then in that case, if you're really looking for that, or doing it in combination, there's certain therapies that will help initiate that, or then you definitely want to do it after as a recovery tool. And you don't want to sort of contraindicate the therapy, and the ones that are trying to create that oxidative stress and essentially upregulate the body.
Is there a physical feeling that people typically associate with these treatments? Like, am I going to feel better? Am I going to feel like an increase? Or is it just more of like an adaptation? Like, I know the next time that I train, I'm going to have an actual response.
It's both. It depends on how sensitive you are and your condition. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of performance athletes are very tuned in, and they can notice it fairly readily.
Mm-hmm.
But we have, you know, people that have dramatic improvements in their health, but aren't aware of it because they, you know, it's incremental and they just don't see the change over time until they kind of get blood work back or realize they can walk again or something. It's just, you know, it's pretty dramatic. And so some people just don't notice things very well.
Is there a particular time of the day where this protein folding tends to happen more, like when your body's in, you know, rest and digest, or is just kind of an ongoing, like my question being leading into, like, should we be doing this when we first wake up or when we're going to sleep? Is there an optimal time to maybe supply my body with an increased easy water function?
Yeah. Whatever is most confident, comfortable for you.
Yeah.
While you're reading a book, while you're sleeping, while you're watching TV or anything like this, yeah, there is no better moment than a different other moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? It is not so something, it's not like a chemical process. You cannot store this in your body.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? When you do it, then it affects your body. Yeah? So if you have an exhaustion, yeah, it could be when you use it that you're getting tired, yeah, because your parasympathetic system, that is a repair system, is being switched, pushed up, and it will put you in the more sleepy mode. Yeah? But in the moment you stop, latest 5 minutes, that is over, yeah? Because you push your sympathetic system, yeah? Because you are walking around, you're standing up, and very often people can recognize the repair that happens during this treatment time, because your sympathetic system is getting better too. You feel more alert, better able to recognize everything around you. Yeah, so your awareness is being improved. So that is something more people recognize.
Energy as well. People feel, you know, just more energetic. Yeah.
So, Hans, I just want to make sure that I understood what you said there. During the actual event, people will have a parasympathetic response or a recovery response?
It could be. Yeah, it depends on what the damage is in the body, yeah, and what is being turned on to in the repair process. Yeah. So if you have an exhaustion, for example, very often on conferences, several days long, yeah, other members of the participants are sitting the entire day in the room, they are not regenerating. Yeah. They do a damage, concentration, talking, and those things, yeah? And they use our technology, and while you talk with them, they're getting tired. Their eyes are falling a little bit close, yeah? Because the body gets this repair and as a boost in this moment. Yeah? Yep. Then they stop, yeah? And they said, oh, yeah, I got tired, yeah? And 5 minutes later, they come back and say, completely the opposite thing. I feel so energetic, so concentrated, so able to stay concentrated again, yeah, because damage got repaired. Now they have more energy, ATP available for the chemical reactions that are controlling your awareness.
Hans Rowena, I really want one of these things. is it something that someone would have in their house or in their office, or is it something that you'd have to go to a physical center to have done?
Everybody have one in their home.
Okay. Yeah, I wasn't sure of the cost feasibility.
Yeah, it's all of the above. There's three different models, and it depends on the session time. So in their homes, people actually have all three models at home. But at the high end, it's over $13,000. Mm-hmm. It's close to $15,000. So that's a pretty big investment for most of us for personal use. Those are perfectly in centers where people can go and just do sessions at the center. Mm-hmm. Then there's one that has a half hour session time, and that one is used both professionally and by people at home, and it's over $8,000. And then the one that has an hour session time is a little over $5,000. And so that one is more affordable, and it's not inexpensive, but over time it certainly is it certainly pays out because you make the upfront investment, but you don't have the ongoing monthly cost.
How long did you say the session was with the biggest one, the $13,000 one?
15 minutes.
Okay. And they're all performing the same task, is just the duration is different?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah. The intensity of the output is different. Yeah? So the smallest device, the medium device has twice as much intensity output than the smallest device, and the high-end device, again, twice as much as the medium device. Yeah? And together with the shorter treatment time, the treatment, possible number of treatments that you can get out of a device is increasing. Yeah? So the minimum lifetime of the device should be 10,000 hours. Yeah? That means on medium device you get 20,000 treatments. That is a lot for one person to live. Yeah? If you use it every day, 20,000 days are, I think, more than 20 years or such a thing. Yeah? And in the high-end device you get 40,000 treatments out. Yeah? So it depends also how many people would you like to reach, how big is your family, or if you have it at home, or how many people you have in the center that you would like to offer the treatment. Companies, that is a very, very good place in companies, the treatment doesn't make any mess or anything like this. You can put it on a desk. People can share it in the company. It is an improvement of the performance for the people. You can use it with everybody in the company. Yeah? Today, we have to simply to accept that in companies are sick people. We have people with, for example, diabetes or any other chronic diseases in companies, and they will benefit out of this, sometimes better than with an exercise device in a special room in the backside of the building. Yeah?
And the 10,000, hours is an absolute minimum. That's just built to last forever, so it's really got some legs, and people that use them all day long in a clinic or something, they just keep ticking. So
Wonderful. I think my audience is going to love this, and I know I'm certainly very curious and eager to try. Is there any do you guys have a listing on your website of clinics around the country that have access to it?
I think we've got one that's a little, it's just on its way now, but I think there will be one soon about in your vicinity. It might be a little east of you.
Mm-hmm.
Our
website has a lot of information where you can find those devices. There's a locator, you type in your address.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I recommend too, not that Hans, people wouldn't want to re-listen to this podcast, but there is a 3D animated video at the website, mm-hmm. which is eng3cork.com.
Yep.
That is only 3 minutes, but that's a great way to visualize what's going on with the proteins in the water. So that helps.
I agree. I watched it and I got excited about it. I was waiting to pick your brain, and I'm so grateful you guys took the time to join me. And thank you for doing what you're doing. And I look forward to what you continue to do in the future, because I think this is going to help a lot of people and reduce the aging process, especially us athletes. We're always looking for that edge. And this is definitely something that I think a lot of people should be looking into.
Sounds good. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much for your time, guys.
Take care.
Have a wonderful day. And people will be able to reach you. I'm going to link to your websites and your social media on the show notes at benpokulski.com/podcasts. Hey, I hope you enjoyed that podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Head on over to iTunes right now and leave me a review. Let me know if you loved it. Let me know if you absolutely hated it. Either way, I need to know so I can improve my job and bring you guys the best information with respect to muscle building, health optimization, and building a better person, building a better man. So thank you very much to our sponsors, which make this stuff possible. I'd love for you guys to each head over and check out atplab.com, ATP Labs, or ATP Lab. Either one works. ATP is a company I've recently aligned with because they have world-class manufacturing, and everything they do is third-party tested and proven to be what it is inside the bottle that it says it is on the label. And you guys know that's massive. And not only that, we're getting the best quality ingredients from anywhere in the world that provides them. Thank you also to Prime Fitness USA, the best equipment for someone looking to build muscle and make the most of their time. I chose to reach out to Prime personally. They never reached out to me. I reached out to them because I knew what they had, and I really believed in their product, and I brought every one of their pieces into my gym, and we still use them every day because, we're all about mindful attention to detail. We are muscle intelligence. We are the ones teaching the best people in the world, the smartest people in the world, how to build muscle in the least amount of time. Another shout out to Gasp and Better Bodies for always taking great care of myself and my trainers and my staff. If you guys want to get a discount for Gasp Better Bodies, head over to benpokulski.com/podcasts and check out the show notes from this show and all the other shows, and you can find transcripts there as well. So have a wonderful day. Upgrade your life, stay focused, and live a life of greatness.